Oh, thank you. First of all, I would like to thank to Professor Cristian Rios and other organizers who gave the opportunity to participate in this conference to honor Professor Eric Sawyer. So my talk concerned the theory of pseudo-differential operators to study the degenerate elliptic operators, and in particular on the torus. The outline of my talk following. The first part is devoted to a very, very short introduction to pseudo-differential operators. After that, we'll talk about pseudo-differential operators on the particular case of the torus. So this is just a comment. There is a general theory of pseudo-differential operators on manifolds. We have the theory on the Euclidean space and the general theory on manifolds. And in the half-wave, we have a theory on Lie groups, in particular on the torus, where we can obtain global representation of the symbols, which is an important advantage with respect to manifolds. And my goal is to present some results in the case of the torus. So the a little introduction to the theory of pseudo-differential operators always start with the Fourier transform. And one reason for this is that we are interested in the differential operators, and the Fourier transform furnish the spectral decomposition of the derivatives. Also notations in classical in this theory, partial derivatives, linear differential operator of order m. We work with a smooth coefficients and bounded and smooth coefficients. The inversion formula or reconstruction formula for the Fourier transform. If you apply the a differential operator to a function f using the inversion formula, so you get this representation. So known as a symbol. And the problem is to define a good class of symbols which permit to study inverse of differential operators in certain sense. The spirit of the study of pseudo-differential operators is the investigation of this relation between symbols and operators. Yeah. In most of cases, one is interested in find conditions on the symbol to answer certain properties on the operator. Yeah. This is a notation known as Japanese notation that is very, very customary to use in this theory. So the first class defined in the history of the differential operators is that of Conan Nuremberg in 65, is the class SN. The idea is to control the derivative of the symbol with this term. Yeah. This is the order of the symbol, and the derivative must decay following this this kind of estimate. After that, motivated by the study of hypolytic operators, in particular the heat equation, Lars Hormander introduced a more general class. In particular, in the heat equation, the study of parameters of the heat equation appears this natural appears this this class. So for derivatives with respect to x, this more general definition allow us to gain some powers of C. Yeah. This a more general definition is that of Bills of and Pfefferman in 74. So now this allow us to study non-homogeneous symbols, because now they introduce two functions to control the derivatives, but they depend on x, on x and c. And a bit more general setting is that of Weyl and Hormander introducing a notion of metric and weight, in particular the setting of Bibbs and Pfefferman is included there. The definition of the Hormander metric is this. It must satisfy three conditions: continuity and uncertainty principle, and a condition of temperance. The continuity enable us to compare two quadratic forms for relative close points x and y in the phase space, and the temperance enable us to compare whatever for quadratic forms gx and gy, but you need a dual metric here defined there. The uncertainty principle has a certain interpretation related to the uncertainty principle of Heisenberg. This is the condition for the definition of the weight. The continuity and certain temperance. The weight must to be a strictly positive function. Yeah. And this definition of Hormander metric and weight allow us to contain all the previous classes in the history of the differential calculus. For example, the rho delta class with this metric, the first example. This is an example of Hermander weight, the second example. And all constant or positive constant functions are weights for whatever Hermander's metric. The case of Biot-Befferman classes is contained considering a metric like that. It must satisfy the two coefficients. Must satisfy several conditions, and this family of conditions are equivalent to the conditions which defines the Hermander metric and the weight. And these are basic results for the calculus corresponding to rho delta class. Rho delta class is a linear space, and is the first property for the product of two symbols in different orders correspond to the sum of the orders. And the composition of pseudo-differential operators is again a new pseudo-differential operator, and the symbol possesses an asymptotic expansion in this way. And this is the definition of the expression above. This is true when delta is less than strictly less than rho. And this is the very important expansion. These are classical theorems that shows the spirit of this differential calculus. In the class S0, you have a symbol in the class S0, you have an operator bounded from L2 to L2. If you define the Sauerless space on the Euclidean space with the Fourier transform, so this is classical, you can extend the L2 theorem to the setting of Sauerless space, and the proof is very simple. The proof of the theorem, the L2 theorem, use obviously the differential calculus. In the case of delta less than rho, one can use the first approximation of the composition. If this is perhaps the operator corresponding to a symbol A, in order to study the L2 norm of this operator, you consider the adjoint times the operator. Study that, and here you need an asymptotic expansion for the adjoint and for the composition. In the case of rho equals to delta, you you can you need more than it's still true. And this can be generalized to the setting of whale hormone under calculus. We can define the soil space corresponding to this setting. And a general theorem corresponding to this setting for soil spaces. Now I start with some basis and some comments on this differential operators on the torus. The idea is that on the Euclidean space you have this representation of the differential operators, and now you have on the torus, for example, in this case, in one dimension of the torus, perhaps this an angle, and the dual variable, the discrete variable on Z. And this is the Fourier transform on the torus. So this is a representation of the differential operators on the torus for n equals 1. These are samples of special features on the torus. So this theory behaves well on the diffeomorphism. Some results can be on the torus, on the n torus can be reduced to the case n equals 1. The theory of periodic differential operators has also applications to the periodic integral operators. So now we can mention it's the same thing at the beginning of the talk, but now we are in a discrete space, so the derivatives with respect to the Fourier variable now must be replaced by partial difference operators, a discrete calculus, but that behaves very well. You have Leibniz formula for that. Instead of integration by parts, you have summation by parts. You can make a definition of the rho delta class in a similar way. This is a theorem that shows the difference with respect to the Euclidean case. You don't need a conditional on the derivatives with respect to the Fourier variable. It's an interesting example of the intrinsic calculus using symbols on the torus times the dual. So the goal is this characterization of periodic differential operators. There is an equivalence between these two classes of representation of symbols. This is with Euclidean representation on the Fourier variable. And the other is the discrete representation. This is a result of MacLean, 1991. There is a more recent proof 2007. My goal is to generalize this result for a class that I have to study for the generic elliptic operators on the Euclidean case, corresponding to the sub-Laplacians. Yeah. One can introduce this metric in this way. Yeah. For example, this operator, but a periodic version of this. So that this is the class of operator that I want to study, but in a periodic version. You can think that you have two angles instead of x1 and x2. You can think on the torus. This is a more general example, but I have no time for that. It's not very important, and there are metrics and weights for the study of that. Yeah. And I have proved this equivalence. To finish, I can mention that the general idea is that to estimate derivatives in the discrete case compared with the Euclidean setting, you can use Taylor approximation, mean value theorem. And you always need to switch for estimations with for example here, A tilde is an extension to the Euclidean space, and the other without tilde is in the discrete case. So here this is a difference operator. So when you compare with the continuous case, you need to replace with uncertain eta, and to obtain an estimation of the derivatives, you need to switch from eta estimates with to C estimates. So for that, it's sufficient to prove a lemma of this type. Yeah, this is similar to the continuity condition of the weight, sufficient to prove the equivalence between the equivalence between these two classes, but in the more general setting that I am considering to study the elliptic operators, yeah, with a metric and a weight. In the case of the terms. Thank you.